Okay, the boy said today's daf is daf Ayin Gimel. We're holding three lines from the bottom of the Yomid, where the Gemara repeats what we had in the Mishnah, Be'elu Nish'olin Be'urim V'tumim. So we're going to discuss now at some length the halacha of the Kohen, who is called the Kohen Meshuach Melchama. Kohen Meshuach Melchama had one basic duty, and that was that if and when Chas V'Shalom there was a Melchama, he would go and speak to the people and be mechazik them and tell them, Rabbi Yisai, we're going out to Melchama. Anyway, our Gemara talks about not so much the duties of the Meshuach Melchama vis-a-vis Melchama, but more vis-a-vis what did he do if and when he wanted to avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. So Gemara says, Ki Asar Dimi Omar, Begodim Shekoyin Godol Meshamish Behen, Meshuach Melchama Meshamish Behen. Rashi says that means that just like the Kohen Gadol throughout the year, whenever he did Avodah in Beis HaMikdash, he wore the Shmoyne Begodim, the big day Zohav. He too, the Meshuach Melchama, wore Shmoyne Begodim any time he wanted to do Avodah. Right, smack in the middle of the left-hand margin in the Rashi, Meshamish Behen, and Bolavoy Beis HaMikdash, Loivesh Ches Begodim, just like the Kohen Gadol wears Shmoyne Begodim, the Kohen Meshuach Melchama also wears Shmoyne Begodim when he does the Avodah Beis HaMikdash. How do I know? Shnema, two lines from the bottom. Uvigdi HaKodesh Asher LaAharon Yilavonav Acharav. What is this pasuk talking about? We're talking about now the Big Day Kodesh Asher LaAharon, which means the Shmoyne Begodim, the Big Days of Yilavonav. They will be eventually for his children, in which case, when Chas V'Shalom, Aaron, a Kohen will pass away, and now the Kuna Gedoyla will go to his children. And Rashi points out, like we know, that the halacha is if you have a Kohen Gadol who has children who are Ro'oi L'malois Es Yodov, meaning that they are Ro'oi to be Memale Es Makoimai to succeed, they go before everybody else, Haben Koidim L'chol Adam. That's what it says in this pasuk. Of the Kodesh of Aaron, Yulavonav, they will be for his children. Skip Achra for a moment. L'moshcha v'hem, l'mali v'mes yodam. That will be their installation, their inauguration as the new Kohanim Gedolim. The question is, what do I need the word Achra for? It would be enough to say Yulavonav, l'moshcha v'hem. So says the Gemara, the extra word Achra comes to include, says the Gemara, l'mi sheba b'gdula Achra. The next in line, so to speak, or the two or three down in line, meaning that after the great authority and level of the Kohen Gadol, after that there are lesser Kohanim before you get to the Kohen Hedget stage. And that is, in our case, the Kohen Meshuach Melchama. He is less in Madrega than the Kohen Gadol, but he's an Achrav. Misha Bobigdula Achrav. He too has a din of wearing the Bidei Kodesh Shel Aaron, wearing the Shmoyne Megadol. The Amri lo Kadi. Kadi, whenever you have Kadi in the Gemara, Machloik is exactly what that means. Some Kadi means the name of a person, Rabbi Kadi, that was his name. Others say Kadi, which means for naught, meaning that this was an anonymous individual. We don't know who this was. Anyway, what does he say? I would think that just like we said a moment ago, that when a Kohen Gadol passes away, automatically, if he has a son that is ro'oi lekach, meaning he's on a very significant madrega, that he can go and fill the shoes of his father. So I would think maybe the same thing applies to the Kohen Meshuach Melchama, that he too, if he has a significant son, he automatically becomes the successor. Tam loimar, top of Ayin Gimel, but Aleph, that's why it says in the pasuk, Shivas Yamim Yil Boshem HaKoyin Tachta Mibonav Asheyovei El Oil Moyed. The pasuk ends off L'shoreis BaKoyish. That's number one of the Torah Arashonim. So what does this mean? That when you're inaugurating a brand new Koyin Gadol, Shivas Yamim Yil Boshem HaKoyin, he should go and wear the Gadol for the 7 days, and then he becomes fully installed. And the pasuk says, who is going to take over? Tachta Mibonav, whoever, if they have Roy children that follow in his footsteps, that they can go and do the Avodah Oil Moed, the Sheres Bakoidish, to come in Mechaper and bring the Kabbonis. And here when it says Oil Moed in particular, it's referring to the Kodesh Kadoshim on Yom Kippur, and it's saying that if he has children that are Roy Lekach, they're going to go and do the Avodah in the Kodesh Kadoshim, Yom Kippur, the Sheres Bakoidish. Okay. Now, the Lashon HaPasuk could be understood that we're referring to the children, or the son that is succeeding the father. And we're saying about that son that he is going to succeed. In what respect? That he's going to now do the Sheiros in the future. He's going to go and do the Avod in the Beis HaMikdash. However, the way the Gemara is understanding it is the Asheyovay El Oil Moed is not modifying the Bibonov, but it's modifying the Kohen, the father. The father is that is still alive, that hasn't passed away. And therefore we're saying that which child will go and take over, we're talking about a situation where the father was a Kohen Asheyovay El Oil Moed Gesheres Bakodesh, that he would go into the Kodesh Kadoshim to go and do the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. His son is going to go and take over after him if he's Ro'ui Lekach. Ah, so says the Gemara. Talmud Vayimah, top line again. Shivas Yam Yubash HaMakoyin Tach Niban of Sheyovi El Oil Moed Mi Shiro'i Lovi El Oil Moed. This halacha that the son takes over and succeeds for his father is only a father that is Ro'i Lovi El Oil Moed that goes into the Beis HaMikdash, the Kodesh Kadoshim, to do Avodah. When you're talking about the Kohen Mashiach Muhammad, he doesn't do Avod in the Beis HaMikdash. His job is outside the Beis HaMikdash to go and make the announcement, V'dibur El Ha'am, that Klal Yisrael should go and strengthen themselves in the face of the enemy when they're going out Limulchama. See, he's not a Yovay El Oyel Moyed. He's not the typical Kohen that does Avod in the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, this halacha doesn't apply to him. This halacha of the son succeeding, it only applies to the Kohen Gadol. He is the Yovei Olamayil. He does the Sheiros Bakodesh. So, Frank Digmar of Isa, if you're telling me that the Mashiach Melchama also does Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, and he also wears Shmoina Megadim just like the Kohen Gadol, then Oy Bazoi, maybe he too should be included in this pasuk, because he's also Boel Oyel Moyel of Bakodesh, goes into Beis HaMikdash, does Avodah. He wears Shmoina Megadim like the Kohen Gadol, so maybe his son should take over just like the son of the Kohen Gadol does. Zaytzachos from this limud, from this pasuk, that we don't say that the Mashiach Muhammad is on the same madrega like the Kohen Gadol, that he wears Shmoina Megadim, and therefore he's not Bo'el Oil Moed, and therefore not like Rav Dimi said, that he's Meshamish Behen with Shmoina Megadim, just like the Kohen Gadol. No, you're making a mistake. When it says in this pasuk that the Kohen Gadol's son succeeds him because the Kohen Gadol is Yovei El Oyel Moed, what that means to say is that Iker Mashiachos El Oyel Moed, his main job, his main achrayis and responsibility is to do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. Yotzeh comes to exclude the Mashiach Melchama, that although he wears Shmoina Megadim, but Iker Mashiachos El Melchama, the reason why he's called Mashiach Melchama, because he's not Mashiach to do Avodah. Avad, he can do Avodah, and Avad, if he does Avodah, he wears the Shmoina Megadim. But nevertheless, that's not his Iker job. His Iker job is to be the Mashiach Melchama, and therefore, about him, it is said in this pasuk that only the Kohen Gadol, whose standard job responsibility is Asheyovil Oyel Moed L'Sharis Bakodesh, he, his Bonav Tachtov, Tachtov Mibonav, they're going to go and serve in the Beis HaMikdash and succeed their fathers. But the Mashiach Muhammad, that is not his principal responsibility. It's only a secondary job, so to speak. This halacha doesn't apply that his sons will go and succeed him. Thank you, Rabbi Meisvei. You just got finished saying, Rav Dimi, that the Kohen Mashiach Melchama wears Shmoina Begadim. I have a befeirushim price in Nishtazoi. Meisvei, Mashiach Melchama ainu mishamish loy be'arba kikohen hedyot veloy b'shmoina b'kohen gadol. He doesn't do the sheiros at all in Beis HaMikdash. He doesn't wear four begadim like a kohen hedyot. He doesn't wear shmoina begadim like a kohen gadol. Obviously, if it says loy shmoina b'kohen gadol, that is a steer that's a kasha on Rav Dimi. You're taking this coin and you're making him into a stranger. In other words, you're making him into a Yisrael. He's not allowed to do a voidah. It's a coin. So why can't he do a voidah? What are you talking about? But I'll explain to you what the braisa means. The braisa means avad and avad me ikar hadin. Rav Dimi is right. That a coin mishuach melchama wears the shmoina begodim if and when he does the avoidah. However, midrabanan, the rabbanan changed the root, and they said that el kohen gadol mishum eiva, the reason why he does not wear the shmoinim begadim of the kohen gadol is because we're worried about hatred and enmity. We're worried about kin of the sinner, that the kohen gadol is going to be upset. Here, I thought that I'm the only one that wears these beautiful big dezov with so much majesty and grandeur, and all of a sudden this other fellow, Mashiach Muhammad, he's wearing them too. Therefore, we don't want there to be a rift, friction between them. That's why we say, don't wear the Shemayna Begot. Kikoyin Hejoit, you know why he doesn't wear the form, Mishamal Makoyin Vulei Marin, since he is entitled to wear the Shemayna Begotim, having him only wear the four, that would be a demotion. So therefore, Me'ikra Din, Rav Dimi is right, the Kohen Mashiach Muhammad wears Shemayna Begotim if and when he does avoid in the base of English. However, the Bryce is also right, the Midrabanan, because of Eva considerations, and because of Mal Bakoidish, he doesn't wear either the four of the Kohen Hagid or the eight of the Kohen God.
How does he, what's his rank vis-a-vis the Skan? With Mashiach Muhammad, which depends on circumstances, there's a war or not, and the Skan is always there.
Right.
Is the Skan higher, or, I mean, the Skan doesn't wear Shemona Begadim unless he's replacing the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur.
Correct.
So is he lower in rank than the Kohen Mashiach Muhammad?
It would appear for these purposes, yes. But we're going to talk about the Skan, not in terms of the word Skan, but we're going to talk about the Mashiach, the Kohen Gadol Lishaavar, that he was, Kohen Gadol for one day because of the fact that the regular Kohen Gadol was disqualified, became Tamei, for instance. We're going to talk about that shortly.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Nahum. As a matter of fact, legally he can, but as a matter of fact, he cannot, because he can't wear the four and he can't wear the eight, and therefore he's stuck.
But he does wear the eight in Malchama, in other words. So he's not.
Gemara doesn't address that.
Well, otherwise, what's a one time affair? He puts it on to go out to Malchama, and then he's.
You're saying very well, very good, Shammah Gamor. You'll see mentioned in the bottom of the Omid that, in fact, if a person wanted to go and ask the Urim Batumim for advice and for direction from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that not only the Kohen Gadol could wear the Shmoyden Begodim, but then too the Mashiach Muhammad can wear the Shmoyden Begodim. So that's apparently, as you're suggesting, not inside the Beis HaMikdash, but at the time of the Aruch HaMuhammad as they are waging war. And if you have questions about this strategy, that strategy, are we going to win, we're not going to win, etc., then they could ask the Urim Batumim on the Choshen of the in the Choshen of the Kohen Mashiach Muhammad. So at least outside he would wear. Whether he would always wear it every time, doesn't say. But at least on those occasions and asking questions, he could wear it at that time. Omer of Adabar Abba L'Rabba. Here it says of Adabar Abba, before we had of Adabar Ahava. I'm wondering whether it's a printing mistake, but it says of Adabar Abba asked Rabba, Vaitana de Lesley Eva V'leika Mishamesh Tisanyo. It says of Adabar Abba, I'm going to show you a brisa. The brisa is a fairly lengthy brisa, where we're going to see that the Kohen Gadol does not have that concern, at least the Rabbanan didn't have the concern of potential Eva. But nevertheless, the brisa says that the Kohen Mashiach Muhammad did not wear the Shmoyna Begodim. And so therefore I have again a direct challenge against Rav Dimi the Sanya. We learned the brisa. A very important brisa, because the brisa is now going to delineate all the differences in halacha between the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hejit, as well as the Kohen Gadol who is Mashuach B'Shem and Amishcha, and the Kohen Gadol who is only Kohen Gadol because of Ribui Begodim, as well as the difference between the Kohen Gadol as and the Kohen Mashuach Lisha Ovar, which means a one day Kohen Gadol, as well as the Kohen Gadol Mashuach Muhammad, which we just spoke about, and as you'll see further. So we start off with Dr. Bryce, Dvarim Shebein Kohen Gadol Bein Kohen Hejit. What are the differences between the Kohen Gadol and a Kohen Hejit? Number one, Par Kohen Mashiach Upar Habo Al Kol HaMitzvahs. Now, this is a little bit difficult on the surface, because if it says Par Kohen Mashiach, that means the Par that the Kohen Gadol brings if Chas V'Sholem he sinned by doing one of the Isurim, which is Mechayiv Kores, and he, the Kohen Gadol, originally came out with a Psak Halacha signed and sealed by the Kohen Gadol, saying that this Malacha is mutter, and he himself followed suit and did what it said in his own Psak, And after that he realized that unfortunately he made a big boo-boo and he made a big mistake in an Issa Sheesh Beikaris. So any Jew, regular commoner, that goes and makes such a mistake, he has to bring a kizbo or a seir. If it's a par koine Mashiach, then he has to go and bring a par. Okay, so that's understandable, and that's only the koine gadol, not a koine hedjet. So that works. But the par ba'al kol mitzvos l'chayre is referring to the par helm davishul tzivor, that Klal Yisrael unfortunately did an error, again based on the faulty psak, this time the faulty psak of the Sanhedrin, the Bezin HaGadol, and based on that, the rank and file, the masses of Klal Yisrael did Isurim Shiesh Ben Kares. So then you don't bring an individual Kizba Seir, but rather one par of Baal Kalamitz of everybody for Klal Yisrael. But what does it have to do with the Kohen Gadol? Anybody can go and be makrib that carbon, even a regular Kohen Hedget. It doesn't say anything in the Torah about a Kohen Gadol, Dafka bringing that par of Baal Kalamitz. And therefore, Rashi and the Vilna Gaon both say that there is a boo-boo over here, and that you should take out the words Kohen Mashiach, and the par Baal Kol Mitzvos is referring to the par that the Kohen Gadol brings as a Kohen Mashiach. It would be a simpler revision to just leave the words Kohen Mashiach and take out par Baal Kol Mitzvos. But because later on in the Braisa we bring again par Baal Kol Mitzvos, and that's referring to the par of the Kohen Mashiach, therefore they take out these two words Kohen Mashiach, and the only goyer is par Baal Kol Mitzvos. But that means not par helm davishul tzibur, it's a par Baal Kol Mitzvos brought by the Kohen Gadol. Why is it called par Baal Kol Mitzvos? Because at the beginning of the parasha in Vayikra, when we talk about bringing the korbanos chatos, so he uses that expression about if the Kohen Mashiach goes and errs, and he has to go and bring a par because he was chotei al Kol Mitzvos. I'm reading from Vayikra Chamishi Dava Bnei Yisrael Leimar Nefesh Kisechta Bishkoga Mikol Mitzvos Hashem. Person who does a chait Bishkoga Mikol Mitzvos Hashem. In Hakoyin Mashiach Yechta Vehikrim, and he has to go and bring a par. So this is a shogeg, a chatas that he brings Al Kol Mitzvos Hashem, and that's why the Gemara refers to it as par Abal Kol Mitzvos. Even though typically this is a reference to the par Helm Dava Shol Tzibur. Here, in this case, it's referring to the power that the Kohen Gadol brings, and take out the two words, Kohen Mashiach. Fine, so that's...
Two different powers that the Kohen Gadol could bring?
No, what we're saying is that they're putting aside Yom Kippur. Right. There are two other powers that can be brought throughout the year for the commission of a Chet Sheyesh Poikaris. One of them is if the Kohen Mashiach individually did a mistake based on his own faulty psak, he brings what we usually call the par Kohen Mashiach. Then there's another another par, which is brought for the Tzibur if they made a mistake. So now, both Rashi and the Gra say that it cannot be both Kohen Mashiach and par Baal Kol Mitzvos, because the par Baal Kol Mitzvos has nothing to do with the Kohen Gadol per se. It's a Klal Yisrael thing. So it's like any carbon that's being brought, and the regular Kahanim Hedyotim can go and officiate. That's not a difference between the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedyot. And so therefore they both say take out the words Kohen Mashiach. If you want to take a quick look at the Rashi, first narrow line, five lines from the top, par Kohen Mashiach loy gar sinan, dehainu, that is the exact same thing as the par HaBaal Kol Mitzvos, that the Kohen Mashiach shechata, behelem dover, helem dover means he made a mistake in Allah, the also dover, and then afterwards he committed an error by doing the mistake, shechayel on doing a chorus, maybe par, the hedjit may be kizboi seira, kishar yochid should be Israel. The regular Kohen hedjit just brings the kizboi seira like everybody else. So therefore, take out the words Kohen Mashiach, and only use par HaBaal Kol Mitzvos, which means that par that the Kohen Gadol brings if he errs in any one of the mitzvahs. As I was saying before, it would be an easier fix to take out the words par HaBaal Kol Mitzvos and just leave the par Kohen Mashiach. But the reason why apparently Rashi takes out Kohen Mashiach, because we'll see in another few lines, the same Bryce is going to again refer to the par Kohen Mashiach with the name and with the words par HaBaal Kol Mitzvos. So even though usually throughout the Talmud when you see the words par HaBaal Kol Mitzvos, it's referring to Klal Yisrael's carbon, but here it's referring to the Kohen Gadol's carbon, what we typically call par Kohen Mashiach, and take out the words par Kohen Mashiach. Fine. Next difference. Par Yom Kippurim. Every single Yom Kippur, as we know, the Kohen Gadol has to bring his par. like we've had already a number of times, and we discussed at length last week and 2 weeks ago, all the avoidance of flag with him, the par, the sir. So that's his own par, no other kohen brings it. Vasir Soefa, the daily chavitin that are brought. Yes, it's true that the kohen hedyot does it on the day of his inauguration, but a daily Asir Soefa, the chavitin, is only brought by the kohen. As well as if Chas V'Shalom a close family member passes away, then the Kohen Gadol acts as if nothing happened, in the sense he does not allow his hair to grow, and he does not have to go and rend his garments. But even though we say he doesn't have to tear his garments, all the way in the bottom on the hem, lower down below, that people don't see, there he can cut it, but he shouldn't go and make a tear up above. The hedyot normal, of course, the hedyot does a normal tear on the top, like everybody else does, Chas V'Shalom, if they become available. The ein metamah l'karoyvav. Beginning of Parshas Emor, it says he can't be metamah to even his closest relatives, to his own parents, to his wife, to his children, as opposed to kohen hedyot, who is allowed to. Umetzuvah l'psula, he has to dafka marry a psula. Umuzah l'mana, but he's not allowed to go and marry an almana. Umasir s'ritzeach, and if Chas V'Shalom you have ritzeach and ori miklad, the kohen gadol passes away, the ritzeach goes home. Umakrav oinan, and he goes and brings karbonos even though he's an oinan. However, ve'ina oicha ve'ina choylik, even though he's makrav oinan, as opposed to a kohen hedyot, who has to leave the mizbeach, has to go home, he cannot participate in the avoid if he's an oinan. The kohen gadol does participate. However, that's only in terms of the hakrova bringing the carbon. But he does not eat from the carbon which he just brought. Even though at night he will no longer be an oinan because aninas laila is drabanan, and therefore he should be able to go and eat the carbon at night, but he does not get a chaylik because the chaylik is determined based on the time of day when the carbon was brought. And since the carbon was brought, the kohen gadol was ba'aninos, and oinan doesn't get a chelek even to eat that night. However, under normal circumstances, if he's not an oinan, noit a chelek baroish, he can go in and say, I want to take the best, choicest piece, or makrav chelek baroish, and he can go and be makrav any day he wants. He can go and say, Rabbi Yisai, I'm going to be makrav today the Tamid Shal Shachar. I'm going to be makrav today the Tamid Shal Ben Aboyim. I'm going to bring this carb, that carb. You can stand on your heads. He's the Kohen Gadol. He can go and do everything. Baroish, he takes precedence and priority of anybody else. Umishamish Shmoyne Kalim, and he wears a Shmoyne Begadim. Well, that's the key while we're bringing this price. He wears a Shmoyne Begadim as opposed to the Kohen Hedyot. Upater al Tumas Mikdash Kadoshav. If Chas V'Shalom he went in by accident, by mistake, into the Beis Hamikdash when he was tummy, or he ate kochim when he was tummy, a regular normal person would bring a very special chatas called the chatas koyle v'yoyred. The kohen gadol doesn't bring the chatas koyle v'yoyred. He doesn't bring that chatas. Whether he would bring another type of chatas, our Gemara doesn't go into. That's a sugya mesechtes hoyrius, but he doesn't bring the chatas koyle v'yoyred. My recollection is because the Gemara says chatas koyle v'yoyred is only about a person where the Torah says v'im dalhu or if he's bedali dalis. That's not shach be kohen gadol because kohen gadol kadleu mishalechov. They have to go and be masher. You have to make him wealthy. So for him, the parsh of chatas oyle v'yoyred doesn't apply. The only one that can do all the avoid yom kippur is him, like we've had in the past. Okay, so with this we have now itemized and listed all the differences between the kohen gadol and your normal kohen hedyot. Okay, now let's go and talk about not a kohen mashiach. Let's call it a kohen meruba begadim. As we know, all the kohanim gedolim in the second base of Mikdash did not have the availability to go and be nimshach, to be anointed the Shemana Mishcha, because Yoshia HaMelech, towards the end of the first base of Mikdash, was gonez not only the Oroin, but also the Shemana Mishcha, and the Tzitzenes Mon, and the Maklish Olaharin, and the Argos that the Pelishtim sent. All of that went into Gediza. So how did the Kehanim Gedolim get installed as Kehanim Gedolim? Through Reba Begadim, by wearing the Shemana Megadim. So now, all the halachas that we just enumerated now that apply to the Kohen Mashiach in the first place, and Migdash, apply to a Kohen Gadol who became Kohen Gadol not through Mashiach, but through Riba Begadol. All the same halachas that apply, except Chut, Mi Para Baal Kala Mitzvahs. That's the only exception to the rule. And this Par Baal Kala Mitzvahs, again, is referring to the Par Kohen Mashiach. Why? Because of the fact that the Torah uses that expression. It says specifically, "Im ha'koyin ha'mashiach yechtel ashmas on." Then he has to go and bring his pot, which is mashmas. That even if he is a koyin god, but he's not Kohen Mashiach, he's not Mashiach Hashem and Amishcha, he doesn't bring that pas. So this is what I was referring to earlier, that the Brais itself uses the term Par Habar Kol HaMitzvahs when we're referring to what we normally call the Par Kohen Mashiach, and that's apparently the reason why Rashi takes out Par Kohen Mashiach and the Vilna Goyen as well at the beginning of the Braisa, and they start off with the difference between Kohen Gadol and Kohen Hagid is the Par Habar Kol HaMitzvahs, which means the Par Kohen Mashiach.
And since we put the Alephilus Midi Rosha Jitzayal on the carbon,
he doesn't bring the carbon.
Why is that? He is that he can go in. He can makriv onen.
He has the same dinim like everybody else. The Gabi Tumas Mikroshin, that if he is tamei, he's not allowed to go to the Beis Hamikdash. He's not allowed to go and eat kabonis. Those halachas certainly apply. And if he doesn't bemaze it, he gets kares. If he did a bishogig, he does not bring the chatas for the beard. Continue on the brisa. So the only difference between the koyin mashiach and the koyin gadol meruba begadim is just that one thing: the par koyin mashiach that the koyin mashiach does bring it, and the par and the koyin gadol meruba begadim does not bring that par. And the kulan lehag is mashiach she'ova. The mashiach she'ova is what we mentioned earlier. That means what the Barry is referring to, typically the skan, who took over for the Kohen Gadol, because the Kohen Gadol became, unfortunately, possible. Remember, we had before that Yishmol ben Kimches, on Yom Kippur, there was the Goy, the Odoin, that went and spit on him by accident, and that spittle caused him to become Tomei. So Askan had to take over, his brother Yeshevov took over, later on, his brother Yosef took over, the Isha Kimches was Zeichet to have 7 sons that were all Kohanim Gedolim. Anyway, so that person who took over, he's only there for a temporary business. In other words, until the Kohen Gadol becomes Tor, he's eventually going to go to the mikvah. He's going to have Herif Shemesh. He's going to be Tor like everybody else, and he'll be reinstated to his former power and prestige and position. Mashenkin, the Kohen Mashiach Mashiavar, what happens to him? Since he was Kohen Gadol for a day, he remains Kohen Gadol in the sense that the following halacha applies. Everything that we said before about the Kohen Gadol apply to him as well, to the Kohen Mashiach She'avah, chutz the par yom kippurim v'asiris o'eifah, except the par yom kippurim and the chavitim. Even though he technically still has the status of a Kohen Gadol, but Rashi says both by the par yom kippurim and the chavitim, there's only one that is brought. You cannot have 2 Kehanim Gedolim bringing on Yom Kippur their own individual par, because the Torah only requires 1 par to be brought and not 2 parim to be brought. Only 1 chavitin every day, not 2 chavitin. But all the other halachas apply. So even though this former skan and former Kohen Gadol Lishavar, although he is no longer the Kohen Gadol on a daily basis, all of the other halachas apply to him, that he cannot go marry an almana, he has to go marry a psula, as well as he is, if he does avoid, he does it mishamish bishmoina kalim, just like the regular kohen gadol.
Anything chelik barosh, that's all the benefits.
All the benefits, and all the burdens, and all the achrayis, all the responsibilities. But now they're focusing on that he wears shmoina begodim, just like the kohen gadol. If you wear shmoina begodim, that tells you that we're not concerned about Eva. That not only the regular kohen gadol, but even this temporary former kohen gadol for a day, he wears shmoina begodim, and the regular kohen gadol has nothing to say. There's no Eva concern. Continuing on, the kulan ein lehagas mishum macham. All of the halachas that we said until now about the kohen gadol do not apply to the mishum macham, with the exception chutz mechamisha dvar mamur meparsha, except for the following 5 that do apply to him, which are all enumerated in Parshas Emor, and it's based on a drasha that this is not only the Kohen Gadol, but also the Kohen Mashiach Mechama. Loi feirea v'loi feirem. He doesn't let his hair grow if Chas V'Shalom one of his immediate family members passes away. He doesn't have to go and tear his garments, except presumably on the bottom, like the Kohen Gadol. V'loi mitam l'kroyuv, he's not the mitam to close family members. Umutzuv ala psula, umuzer ala almona. So that is 5 things. Perev feirem is 1, mitam l'kroyuv is 2, mitzuv ala psula is 3, muzer almona is 4. And umachzis ritzeach in the Rebbe Yehuda, according to Rebbe Yehuda, all to the din of machzir es haritzeach, meaning that if Chas V'Shalom you have a ritzeach that went out to the Ari Miklat, and now the koyin Meshuach Melchama died, then the Ritzach is free and he can go home. The Rabbi Yehuda and Chacham disagree regarding the din of Machzer Ritzach. And this is now the conclusion of this fascinating, lengthy brisa. What do I see from this brisa? I see, number one, that there is no concern of Eva, because not only the Kohen Gadol, but also the Kohen Gadol Isha Avar continues to wear Shemayin Megadim when he does avoid. So there's no Eva concern. Nevertheless, what does it say by the Kohen Meshuach Muhamma that he does not have any of the dinim of the Kohen Gadol, except for these five enumerated halachas, the Puriyah, the Freeman, Metame, etc., but it doesn't think about the Shemayin Kelim. So Zaytzechos, only the Kohen Gadol wears the Shemayin Megadim, and not the Kohen Meshuach Muhamma. So this is a real strong kasha against Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi started off today's Gemara that the Kohen Meshuach Muhamma also wears Shemayin Megadim. No, he doesn't. The only one that wears the Shemayin Megadim, that's the Kohen Gadol. And the Kohen Gadol Sha'avar, but not the Kohen Meshuach Mulcham. So you're going to go and tell me, well, we already had that kasha before, and we said, Mishem Eva, in other words, Mitzah Iker, and he does wear the Shemayin Megadim. However, because of Eva, the Kohen Gadol will be jealous, will be upset, he doesn't wear. You see that we're not concerned about Eva, because we allow the Kohen Gadol Sha'avar, that Kohen Meshuach that was just there for a day, we allow him to wear the big day Kohen Gadol of the Shemayin Megadim, and there's no Eva concern. And yet, by the Meshuach Mulcham, we say, no, don't wear it.
They're not the same type of threat to the Kohen Gadol.
Why not?
One is a threat of one day that passed, and he's retired, he's emeritus, and it's clear that it was a one-day thing. Meshuach Mulcham is a contender. He's a contender to replace the...
She's saying here there's Eva, and there is no Eva.
Right, why are you saying there's no
Eva? And that's Gemara's answer. And for the Gemara. Ki lastly, Eva mitakavos say. When do you say that there is no Eva if the other person who's wearing the Shemayin Megadim is in his class, in his category? He's a Kohen Gadol, he's a Kohen Gadol Shavah. But the Zutaminei, Islay. However, if you have a lower ranking Kohen, the Kohen Meshuach Mechama, a nice guy, but he's not a Kohen Gadol. So the Kohen Gadol says, why are you wearing the Shemayin Megadim? You don't deserve to wear the Shemayin Megadim. You just make those announcements. You're not a Kohen Gadol. You never wear a Kohen Gadol even for 1 minute. What are you wearing the Shemayin Megadim for? That's where we have the concern of Eva, only by the Kohen Meshuach Mechama. We don't have the same concern of Eva by the Kohen Gadol, Kohen Meshiach, Meshavah. And so therefore, Nishka Kasha. Yosef Rebavo, the Ka'amalol HaShemaitzah. So we had Rebavo that was repeating the Skamza Shtikul Torah, that we started off with Rav Dimi, and Rav Avo said it in the name of Mishmei Rav Yoichra. Adrinu Rav Ami, Rav Ami, Rav Asi Leapayu. When Rav Ami, Rav Asi were there at the Shir, and they heard Rav Avo saying this Mishmei Rav Yoichra, they disagreed. However, they didn't voice their disagreement, they didn't say anything, but rather they turned their faces away as if to say, we disagree. Ikedi Amri, there's another version, the exact same story, but not that it was Reb Avo, it was Reb Chibar Abba Omra in the name of Reb Yochanan. Vahadrinu Reb Ami Reb Asi Lepayu, and they turned their faces away because they didn't want to respond to say anything, but they very much disagreed. So now we have two versions, Reb Avo, or Ikedi Amri Reb Chibar Abba. Is Masla Reb Papa Vishlem Reb Avo Mishum Yakr de Bekesa? I can understand why Ami Reb Asi didn't respond and they just turned their heads aside because of the great cover that they had to go and show towards Reb Avo. Now, our Gemara doesn't tell us what that big cover is, but in other places in Shas, we find in Mesechus Chayiga, Mesechus Tanis, and other places in Sanhedrin that Reb Avo was very much respected by the Kesar, and in fact, when he would come from time to time to consult with the Kesar, that the Amas of the Kesar came out la'ape u'mashrile, that the women, the maidens of the Kesar would come out and they would go and sing in honor of the great Kovid that Reb Avo was coming. I guess he had to close his ears, otherwise he had a problem of Kol Isha Erva. But the bottom line is that they gave him the 18 gun salute. Oh, Reb Avo is coming to visit the Kesar. They gave him this grand reception.
And Moritz Sanhedrin, I think, says that he used to wear a bolaris because of that. He used to dress and he had his hair cut in a certain way. Because he would go there, he had to, for communal affairs.
Mm-hmm. I know exactly what you mean. Anyway, Rashi tells you, look at Chagiga, look at Sanhedrin. A number of times, you also have in Thomas. Moritz talks about Reb Avo. So now, that's the reason why Reb Asi didn't say anything, because since he was so well respected above all, they didn't want to say, no, we think you're wrong. Why didn't they go and say? They should have spoken up and said, what you just said now in the name of Rabbi Yochanan is Kan Rizayin, we respectfully disagree. Why were they silent? And therefore Zeitzcho says the Gemara that the first version is the correct version, that was Rabbavo, and that's what Rabbi Rabasi didn't say anything. It's unlikely that if Rabbi Bar Abba would have said in the name of Yochanan, that they wouldn't have voiced their opinions and said, with all due respect, Rabbi Bar Abba, we don't think Rabbi Yochanan said that. And this, with this we have concluded the first Man D'Yomar Rav Zimi, that says that if you have a Kohen Gadol, not a Kohen Gadol, a Kohen Meshuach Mulchama, he's doing avoid in the Beis Hamikdash, Mitzat Ikra Din, he's entitled to wear the Shemayna Begot.
But he doesn't because of Eva.
Exactly. Ki Asa Rovan Omar, we have this very often in Shas, the first Rav Dimi came and then Rovan came. So what did Rovan say? No. Nishal Itmar. Actually, it doesn't say that he was Meshamish B'Shemayna Begot, it rather is Nishal B'Shemayna Begot. Meaning, if you want to go and ask advice from the Kohen Gadol, and specifically from the Urim Betumim, normally who's the one that wears the Urim Betumim? It's the Kohen Gadol. Ah, Robin said, not only the Kohen Gadol wears that, but also the Meshuch Mulchama wears that when he's going at the Mulchama, and when the king or the general or whoever wants to know what strategy are we going to win, this, that, the other thing. So Nishal, you don't have to go to the Kohen Gadol, you can go to the Meshuch Mulchama, who's also will wear for the occasion the Shemayna Begadim, and you can ask the same question to Urim Betumim.
Urim Betumim was one set, or was there two sets?
According to Urim Betumim, there were two.
Was he also a
coin? The coin Meshuach Mulchama had to be a coin. But we're saying now that he is second only or third only to the great coin.
Gracing the place, see, that was.
I'm sorry?
They put the Shem Mefurash into the.
Into the folds of the Choshen. Choshen was originally open, put it in, fold it up, and then you tied it down to the ephod like we had yesterday. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, this is, by the way, I'm sorry, once again?
The term Gracia Plessy, that's is that connected to?
That's also a reference to Urim Betumim. That's another name for Urim Betumim. Right. There's a very fascinating Rashi over here. Rashi here is Soser himself in Chumash, because Rashi, when he talked about Urim Betumim, Rashi says Urim Betumim was the Shem HaMefoyrish that was placed within the folds of the Choshen Mishpat. Here Rashi, three lines to the bottom, says, Klapi Shchina, Klapi Urim Betumim, this Shem HaMefoyrish Shem Betrecha Choshen, which sounds like these are two different things. There's an Urim Betumim and a Shem HaMefoyrish. The question is, what was the Urim Betumim? Torah doesn't tell us what the Urim Betumim was. The Gemara will tell us why it got the name Urim Betumim. So it's somewhat of a mystery. Rashi in Chumash says, Urim Betumim was the Shem HaMefoyrish, and it says they're two separate things. Anyway, beginning back to our Gemara. So Nishal Ben, that's what we meant, Nishal. Nishal Itmar. Tanya Mihachi, 10 lines from the bottom. Begodim Shekoyin Godel Meshamish Behen, Meshuch Muhammad Nishal Behen. Oh, the same Begodim that Koyin Godel is Meshamish. In other words, the Shemayin Begodim, including the Choshen, including the Urim Betumim inside the Choshen. Remember, the Urim Betumim inside the Choshen was only in the first base of English. They didn't have the benefit of it in the second base of English. But what does it say? Begodim Shekoyin Godel Meshamish Behen, Meshuch Muhammad Nishal Behen. You can ask Meshuch Muhammad the same questions and get hopefully the same answer. Tanarabak. Ketzer Chiyalu. So now, how did it work? What was the whole procedure? Hashoyil Ponov Klapi Nishal, Vanishal Ponov Klapi Shchina. You have the Kohen Gadol, or the Kohen Meshuach Mulchama, wearing the Shemayna Begadim. The Shoel, the one that's asking the question, faces him directly, face to face. And the Nishal, meaning the Kohen Gadol, or the Meshuach Mulchama, who's being asked the question, he's Ponov Klapi Shchina, means he bends his head downwards towards the Choshen, which is on his chest. And he looks down as the question is being posed. Hashoy Oymer, and the show, for instance, will ask, Erdef Achri HaGdud HaZeh, should I go and run after this Gdud, after this garrison, these troops? Vanishal Oymer, and then the Urim Betumim would respond, or the Kohen Gadol, or the Kohen Meshuach Mulchama, after seeing the response of the Urim Betumim, we'll see in a moment how that worked, he would go and say, Koyomar Hashem, this is what Hashem answered, Alei V'Hatzlach, or Alei V'Hatzliach, go out and you will be successful. Rabbi Yehuda Oymer, Ein Tzorach Loymar, the Kohen Gadol didn't have to add the words Koyomar Hashem, he just said, Alei V'Hatzlach, get, it will be successful, because that's all that would be shown by the Urim Betumim. He doesn't have to add that this is what the Urim said in the name of Hashem. He would just say, the message, the answer, Alei V'Hatzlach. The person who's asking the question should not say it out loud that other people should hear, only that the Kohen Gadol should hear. Shinemar says in the Pasuk, Yeshua Aloi, Ba'ur v'tum of Hashem. Inshallah, he asks him. In other words, if he's speaking to him in his ear. You found them? You found the Rashi?
Yeah.
Good. Want to read it for us?
Rashi Chumash?
Yeah, Rashi Chumash.
It says, Ur v'tumim, who kisar kinam farish, chaya nois noit pech klapi achoshin. That this self is shenam farish.
That's a shimmer. But Rashi over here says it's two, right? Rashi says over here, Ur v'tumim is shimmer. Maybe it's a printing mistake. Maybe it's a Ur v'tumim is shimmer.
Can you read that one more time?
Anyway, so here the Gemara says, "Vayte, you don't ask out loud that the whole master should hear. Shaloi, he should hear. Of the Mahar Beliboy, however, he didn't go and just keep it to himself and look at the Kohen Gadol and start thinking about the question. Shenema v'shaloi v'fneshem, he has to actually verbalize it and say it out loud. Ella, k'der sha'om rechana betfilasa." How is that? He says it quietly, like in a whisper. Shenemar, v'chanei mideberes aliba, ain't mideberes aliba. She was, of course, being mispiled to Hashem, but she didn't go and say it out loud. In fact, the pasuk continues on. If you have number four over here, raks vaseha nois v'koyla lo yishamea. You would see that the lips are moving, but you wouldn't hear the voice because it was very quiet. So that's the type of setting. When you ask, don't ask a double question, only ask one question at a time. If you ask two questions, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will only answer question number one. Only the first of the two questions, like it says in the Pasuk Shema. Hayazgiruni ba'ale ke'ila b'yadoi hayyered shol. At the end of the Pasuk it says, v'yoyim ha'ashem, yered. What is this talking about? David HaMelech was fleeing from Shaul, and he was coming to a place called Keilah. And he was concerned that if he goes into Keilah, and if Shaul reaches Keilah, he may make some sort of deal, or maybe the government officials are going to feel duty-bound to follow whatever Shaul tells them, and that they might go and arrest David HaMelech at the command of Shaul. So therefore, David HaMelech is asking two questions to the Urim Tum. Number one, Hayasgiruni Bali Keilah. Will the mayor and the city council and the officers and the police of Keilah, will they go and Yasgiruni, are they going to put me in jail? Number two, Hayyedit Shol, is Shol even going to come down to Keilah? Because if he doesn't come down to Keilah, the first question doesn't even apply. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered him, Yered, yes, Shol is coming down to Keilah. For tomorrow. Yeah. Now you're inconsistent. Right. You're so what you just said. Well, right. I'm going to say right. The first question was Ayaz Giruni, and he answered the second question about a Yerid Shol. Everything in the reason is David Shol Shoy Goyim. David really made a boo boo in the way he posed the question. But they answered him. He said Shloi Kaseider. But they answered him in the proper order. What does that mean? So Rashi says that the way he should have asked is the initial question is Shol going to come to Keilah? Once he comes to Keilah, is he going to speak to the Rosh Keilah of Keilah and make sure that they go and arrest David HaMelech if and when David HaMelech comes to Keilah? You don't go and ask, are the Rosh Anshei Keilah going to arrest me? And by the way, is Shaul going to come? Shaul going to come first, because if Shaul's not there, l'chayre, it's toss-up. Nobody knows what the Anshei Keilah going to go and do. So therefore he asked out of order. However, even though he asked out of order, Kadosh Baruch Hu answered him as if he asked it in the proper sequence. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered through the Ur V'Tum to the second question and said, Yered, he understood, I asked the questions backwards. Now he asked again the first question, and therefore the very next pasuk in Shmuel, again he says, Shlema Hayazgiru Balikila Oisi Ves Anoshai Biachol. Are the Balik Ila, are they going to go and arrest me and my people because of Shaul's command? Yes, in fact, they will go and arrest you, you and your Anoshim. So, even though he asked initially out of order, Hashem Yisparach answered him the way he should have asked, answering question number two first, and then David HaMelech repeated the same question a second time, and Hashem answered him again. However, if there's an urgent need to answer or to ask both questions simultaneously, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will answer him both. Number one, should I run and run after them, flee after them? Will I be victorious? Will I capture them? Will I catch them and get up to them? And now, when it said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, yes, run after them. You're going to win. in and they're going to do a great job. So you see, even though there was a double question, under urgent moments, the Kadosh Baruch Hu will answer both. The Alabish Gzeres Novi Chizeres, even though when a Gzeres that Novi says, at times the Kadosh Baruch Hu will change it. Rashi says a famous case of Yoina, where originally Yoina talked about what's going to happen to Nineveh, and eventually they were all saved, so Kadosh Baruch Hu could go and change his mind, so to speak. That doesn't change. The word mishpat is like justice, is like a decision of the court, that once the judge renders judgment, that's the end. Mishpat Urim, that's it. Pray Timara. How did he even get the name Urim Tum? Urim Shemeir Nestevreim, Tumim Shemashlim Nestevreim. Urim because it lights up, and Tumim because it's Mashlim. Now this Meir Nestevreim we're going to explain in greater detail in another couple of lines, but what is this Tumim Shemashlim? Rashi says Mashlim means that's the end. Ein Gzeiros and Chizeres. In other words, Tam Venishlam, now we're at the end of the court process, and the decision has been rendered, and that's it. Like the Gemara said a moment ago, but mishpat urim. That's what mashlim is doing. V'yom tov, if you can ask me, begivus binyamin, memela lo hishlimo. How come it was binyamin that didn't occur? Now, what was the maisa givus binyamin? That's the famous story of the infamous story of the Pelegish Begiva, without going through all the sordid details. It's talking about there was a young married newlywed couple, and unfortunately there were a couple of shkotzim in the shevet of Binyamin who went and they were ma'anis, they went and violated this newlywed Pelegish to the man, and they did it with such intensity, and unfortunately not only was she violated, but in fact she died from the whole experience. And then the rest of Klai Yisrael heard this, they were furious, and they said, Binyamin, you gotta go do something, and Binyamin kind of really poo-pooed the whole thing. And they said, Binyamin, if you're not gonna go and arrest them and execute them, or do whatever you have to, and dispense justice, then we're gonna go and take matters in our hand. Anyway, it led to a civil war of the Shevet Binyamin against all the other Shvatim of Klai Yisrael. And each time, when Klai Yisrael wanted to go up against Binyamin, they asked first the Urim V'Tumim. And the first time they asked the Urim Tumim which Shevet should go up, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Yehuda, yeah, the Yehuda should go up, and they should fight. And then they asked a second time. Unfortunately, that first time after he said Yehuda, Yala, what happened after that, there was a big battle, and the 11 Shvatim lost very badly. They lost thousands of people. And then they asked the next time, should we go up? And the Kadosh Baruch Hu said, yes, you can go up. And unfortunately, they lost that time as well. The third time they said, should we go up? Will we win if we go up? And now Kadosh Baruch Hu said, yes, if you go up, you're going to go and win. So now it sounds like Kadosh Baruch Hu's had a change of heart, because the first two times they lost, even though the Urim Tumim said, yes, you can go up. It's only the third time where Kadosh Baruch Hu said, you're going to win, and in fact, they won. So the Gemara asks, the Givus Binyamin, the Ma'alo Yishlimo. How come the first two times we see that the word of the Urim Tumim was not the final word? Because it said go up and they lost. And only the third time that he said go up and they were victorious. The first two times they didn't ask the key question. If you want a good answer, you have to ask a good question. And the good question would have been, are we going to win or we're not going to win? But they didn't ask it. They asked, should we go up? Could we say, yeah, go up. Should I go up or should I stop? So now they ask the question, should we go up in Echdal? So they were asking, are we going to be victorious or not? And now Hashem Yisbarach said, and I asked it properly. The answer is, yes, you're going to win. And in fact, after that, they won the third time. You said that the Urim V'Tumim works Me'inus Devarim. How does that work? Ketanasis, Rabbi Yochanan Omer Boltois, the letters of the various Shvatim which are inscribed and engraved on the 12 Avonim, the 12 stones of the Avni Choshen, those key words when Hashem Yisbaruch is answering, the letters would be Bolet, they would go and protrude from all the rest of the letters, and then the Kohen God would have to go and add those letters up. That it was easier than that. So Rashi tells us, Rashi gives us the real details. If you look at the Rashi, the second third of the narrow lines, says Rashi, Boltois. So Oisia is Boltois Kigoin. Ayin from the word Shimoin. Ayin comes up. Lamed comes up from Levi. So now I have Ayin and Lamed. Hey comes from Yehuda. That's the hey of the end of from the second letter of Yehuda. So I have Ayin Lamed. Hey, Loimer Alei. V'chalachas Ein Zozim Mekoyma didn't really move. El Boiletas Mekoyma on the spot. It stretches out, it protrudes. Vumitzarf and the Kohen Gadol has to go and add them together. That's how the first Tanna looks. The next pshat in the Gemara says, no, not that they were just bolate. That was Rabbi Yochanan, Shkatan, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Chokish Oimer Mitztarfis. Mitztarfis means that in fact the Urim V'Tumim on its own is a mitztarf of the letters together, so that the Kohen Gadol doesn't have to struggle and figure out how do you add the letters up. They're mitztarfis on their own. And therefore you have both the boltois and the mitztarfis. Praiti Mora, that sounds like a great idea, but there's one problem. And that is if you add up all of the letters, all the shvatim, we're missing a couple of letters. For like Sibahu Tzadi, the word, the letter Tzadi is missing. The Vilna Gaon adds, by the way, the Eches and Kuf are also missing. If you look at all the letters, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, etc., there's no Tzadik, there's no Ches, there's no Kuf. Well, what are we going to do? Besides the 12 Shvatim, he also had Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. No, Yitzchak already has all three letters, the Tzadik, the Ches, and the Kuf. Everything is included.
So it was written on 12 stones.
So you're asking where it was written.
Right.
So that's a machloikis among the Mepharshim. The Gemara doesn't address. The Mepharshim say, some say Avram Yitzchak Yaakov was written on Reuven and Shimon and Levi at the top. They squeezed in an extra couple of words. Some say it was written at the back, on the bottom. Some say it was written separately. There's a machloik is exactly where it was. We don't know for certain because the Gemara really doesn't address it. But Avram Yitzchak Yaakov Ksiv Shom. I have a Ksiv Tes. We're still missing a letter Tes. Amar Avach Bar Yaakov Shifti Yeshurin Ksiv Shom. It also says the word Shivte Yeshurin. And if we have the Tes of Shivte, also good. If you're wondering how you spell Naftali with a Tes or a Tav, you see from our Gemara it's obviously spelled with a Tav because we're saying we're missing a Tes. Yet Naftali is one of the Shifti Kav. So we have the Tes in the word Shifti Yeshurin. Those were also written either the front and in as part of Reuven and Shimon, or later further down, but it was written there among the 12 of Avadim. Now that's how. Okay, let's finish off. Meisvei, Freidi Mar, Kol Koyin She'enai Medaberuch Hakoyish Chinu Sheira Olam Ein She'alim Bayit. If you have a Kohen Gadol that unfortunately is not on the highest standards, he doesn't have Ruach Hakoyish, and therefore Ein She'alim Bayit, you cannot go and ask the question to the Urim V'Tumim because it's not going to answer. How do I know? Shei Shoal Tzodik Vol Tzolei. Tzodik HaKoyin, who was with David HaMelech, he was asked the question by the Urim V'Tumim, and the Urim V'Tumim responded. And the Yasa of Le'ol Tzolei, but Yav Yasa. Initially by Yav Yasa, it also answered, but later in generation, later days, later years, and the Yasa lost that Koyach with the Ruach HaKoyish, and the Urim V'Tumim no longer responded by Yav Yasa, because he didn't have Ruach HaKoyish. Shinema V'Yal Yav Yasa Ad Toim Kola Om, and then Tzodik came in and took over. Now the question is, you said a moment ago that the way that the Urim V'Tumim responds is by boltois and mitztarfois, and now you're saying it has something to do with Ruach HaKodesh. Well, what does the Ruach HaKodesh have to get involved? Everyone says you have Messiah Badayu. You do have to go and have that siyua, that help from the Kohen Gadol. What does that mean? If you look at the Rashi right before the end, siyua have the Messiah about 6-7 lines before the end of the perek. Kohen Bahadi Urim V'Tumim. If he has that standard, that madrega of kedusha v'tahara that he has, roish lishrei shchina, ha'is his boltus and mitzdarves al yaday kishesh olamay v'imlav. If he happens to be, however, a nice guy, but he's not on that level of kedusha, then loy boltus and mitzdarves, then they don't do their job. That's how Rashi learns our Gemara. The Ramban in Chumash learns the Gemara differently. Rabban apparently did not have the skirsa about the boltois, but rather how did the Urim V'Tumim respond? They were meirois, like the Gemara said at the outset, shmeirin es devrei, which means it lit up. All of the key letters, like the ayin, lamed, hey that Rashi said, they lit up. But however, sometimes they were out of order because the question required letters from this word and from that word, and the letters were not in order. So how do you go and work that out? So Ramban says, that's what the Gemara means, that you have to have Ruach HaKodesh. That the Kohen Gadol had to know that if you had a letter from Reuven, a letter from Shimon, a letter from Levi, in which order to be the star of them to go and put them all together, that's what you need, the Ruach HaKodesh. Based on that, there's a famous Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon says, at the times of Eli HaKohen, we quoted this back on the Amud Aleph, that Chana was being mispa'ul, and it says about her that in those days, apparently, when people davened, they davened out loud. If you have never heard an out loud davening, go to a Kalin stall in a Besmedish and you hear how they shry, how they scream. So Chalim Medeberes Aliba, she was quiet. Rax Vosea Nois, it was just her lips that were moving. Koyle Yisham, and you couldn't hear anything. Vayachshevea Eli Lishikoyre, and Eli thought about it. Ah, she's a shikata. She doesn't know what she's doing. She's never. She drank too much, and therefore that's why she's mumbling to herself. I never saw somebody daven like that. Ah, she's a shikoyre. And then it says in the pasuk to that the Chana told Eli, I'm sorry, loy ish ruach ato, you're not a bal ruach. And the Rashi explains, we don't have the psukim here, look it up in Shmuel, very beginning of Shmuel Aleph, the first 3, 4, 5 psukim, you're not the great ruach, you don't have ruach HaKodesh, and you don't know what's going on. And instead she says, I'm not chas shalom a shikaira. In earlier editions of the Rashi it says, I am Chof Shin Reish Hei, which the Vilna Gaon says, I'm Kisara, because both Sarah and Chana had the same problem. They didn't have children, and just like Sarah Imena was being Mespal, I was also being Mespal, and I'm not Yechiv Finish Kashi Koira. Says the Vilna Gaon, ah, I know what's going on over here. What's going on is that Eli was wondering, who is this lady over here? He went and asked the Urim V'Tumim. The Urim V'Tumim, 4 letters showed up. Shin Chof Reish Hei. Ah, she's a Shikoyra. Said, Chana, you're not reading it correctly because you've lost your Ruach HaKodesh. Your Ruach HaKodesh would have been Mashlam. You would have known how to be Mitzara for letters. It's not Shikoyra. It's Kisara. The same 4 letters. So you stay tuned. Kailul Yomandi, if you want to look it up, it's here in Shmuel Aleph Aleph. You can write it down. You can make pictures of it. He was up there.
I would say Kisara.
I would have said the same thing, but the Vilna Gaon doesn't say that. But you can look it up and you can agree or disagree. He says Kisara, like sorry, Meno. But you'll see it over here.
It shows you the room to the Kisaras.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it so with Kisara or?
It's the same letters as Shikora, Shin Chof Reish Hei. In the Torah, it's without a
Chof.
The Chof and the Shin, you have to
share with Chof. Share with Yud.
You could write Share with Yud, you could write with a Tzeda without a Yud. And you could write Shikora with a Vav, you could write without a Vav. In the Pasuk, it's written without a Vav, Shin Chof Reish Hei, without a Vav. And here too, the word Kishero or Kisara could be written without a Vav, certainly Kisara. And therefore, he said, you messed up, Eli, you don't have Ruach HaKodesh, and you didn't know the proper order of the letters.
Who says this?
This is the Kol Elio, the Vilna Gaon. You can look, Mendy is looking at the Sefer as we speak. The beautiful Vav. Okay, the Ein She'al El Melech. Who's the ones that can go and ask a question? The Melech, or the Abezdin, or an asker on behalf of the Tzibur. We take this somewhere. But both of course, it's possible. They are Koyin Yamei B'Shal Lid Mishpat Urim Lefnei Hashem. A Pivyetzo Pivyavoyu. This is referring to Yehoshua, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu saying Yeshua, he's going to take over after Moshe Rabbeinu's passing, and he's going to go and have the assistance of Elazar Koyin. That anytime he has a big shayla, he'll ask the Urim B'Tum. So now the Gemara goes and darshans a few words in that pasuk. The Gemara doesn't bring the entire pasuk. We have that in number 3. It says, "Apiv yeto, apiv yavoyu, who v'chol b'nei Yisrael itoy v'chol lo eda." Now, who is referring in the pasuk to Yehoshua? The Gemara takes the word "who" and understands it more broadly. Who zemelech? Whoever is in charge, just like Yehoshua. If you look at Rashi, there'll be Yeshua mishto yikra. We're talking about Yehoshua. So the melech, whoever the leader of Klal Yisrael, he can go and ask the Urim V'Tumim. And then it says, v'chol b'nei Yisrael itoy zemeshuach melchama. Says the last Rashi, Misha Kol B'nei Yisrael Itoy Latzeisla Melchama Achrab. The one that's in charge, he's in charge of the army, so to speak, and he's going to tell all the troops, okay, now it's time to fight. So that's Chomim Yisrael Itoy Mishuach Melchama V'chol Eid Zeus Sanhedrin. And our Mishnah referred to it as the Av Bezin, who represents the Sanhedrin in posing the question to the Kohen Gadol, to the Urim V'Tumim. Hanulach Bolei Kohen Gadol, Bolei Kohen Gadol. Brand new perek. Zog the Gemara. This is a very famous perek, and this is now what we call today Yom Kippur. I mean, all of what we learned until now was fascinating regarding the various avoid in the base of Migdash, the par and the sor, the chvira saktoyres. All of that is beautiful, and hopefully this Yom Kippur will be able to experience it. But unfortunately, over the last few years since Sichon Beis Migdash, the Ikar Yom Kippur is this Mishnah and this final perek of the Sechtes Yuma. That we say it in the Machzor. The way you say the Machzor, you actually live it because you say it with so much fervor and kavana and sincerity. Most of us, for instance me, we just get through and we're looking at the clock. When will this be over? I'm so hungry, I can't wait to eat, etc. Yeah. On Yom Kippur afternoon. I'm saying you don't experience this because you have so much fervor. You don't realize that you haven't eaten for almost 24 hours, and you very often you're about to fill it. Okay, on to the Mishnah. Yom Kippurim also ba'achilu b'shtir u'b'chitza u'b'sicha u'b'sandal b'tasha shemitah. These are the famous five inuyim of achilu b'shtir. You can't eat or drink. U'b'chitza, you can't go and take. You can't even wash your hands. Twice until the knuckles. This, that, the other thing. If you went to the bathroom in the morning, yeah. U'b'sicha, you can't smear yourself with any oils. U'b'chitza sandal, you can't wear shoes. B'tasha shemitah, one cannot have relations with one's wife. However, there are two exceptions to the rule: the melech and a kala. Kala, says Rashi, means the first 30 days after she's married, they can go and wash their faces. In the case of the melech, because it says in the pasuk in Yeshaya, "Melech biyofiyoi techzeno einecha," you want to see the king in all of his beauty and glory. And the kala, because you want it to be mechab ver al balach, you don't want a brand new newlywed to look poorly in the face of her husband. Good. V'achaya tinol as a sandal, and achaya means a lady who just is giving birth, who just gave birth. She's allowed to wear shoes because she doesn't wear shoes properly. Chas v'shalom, then the cold can get to her feet, and then she can catch cold, and she'll get sick, and all the rest. V'achaya tinol as a sandal, divrei bless. V'chum ois v'chum aser, the foregoing three, that the melech and the kala cannot wash their faces, and the achaya cannot wear normal shoes on Yom Kippur. What's the shear? Normally the shear, of course, as you know, is a shear kezayis. Here's a shear kekoisis, because that gives a certain degree of satisfaction, takes away the inui. Because the Torah doesn't say that you're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. It talks about ta'anu es nafshi seichem, kichola nefesh eshaloi se'une. So we talk about inui. If you eat a kekoisis agasa, a kekoisis is a tomorrow, is a date. A large day to eat that apparently gives you enough koyach and nourishment that it takes away those major hunger pains. And kamayo kagari nasa, we mean the size including its pit, not after you remove the pit, with the pit, that volume is the amount that if you eat, chas v'shalom, your chayiv karas. Same thing, vashoyis malei lugmav, if you drink enough to go and fill up your cheeks, chayiv, again, chas v'shalom, chayiv karas. So all types of foods are mitzvah to that shiv kekoisvis. Whatever you happen to be eating, a shtickle of this, a shtickle of that, make sure it doesn't add up to a full kekoisvis. And you're talking about a mashkin, make sure it doesn't add up to meloy lugmav. And if you eat and drink each time only a chutzis shir, it's not mitzvah. So if you only have a half of a kekoisvis and half of meloy lugmav, it's not mitzarev, even though the two together might be larger than the volume of kekoisvis or meloy lugmav, you don't add the two together. Okay.
But achil and shtir are considered one inui. It's odd that they're not being mitzarev, because when you look at the list, achil and shtir one.
Considered one, no question.
But, so why aren't they mitzarev?
Because it's a solid, it's a liquid, it's a liquid and solid, they're not mitzarev for sure. So it starts with the Mishnah Yom Kippur Asur. It should go and say he's chayiv koris in the case of achil u'shtir. You're not chayiv koris in the case of all of them, but at least achil u'shtir is certainly chayiv koris. So why does it say osur onish korisu? I'm going to be able to say, I'm going to be able to say, I'm just telling you that you're not going to even eat less than a kekois, and less than a meloy lugmav. Hanich leman yom achutzi shir asher min ha-toira. Eleman yom achutzi shir min ha-toira, ma yikul ha-meimar. If yom achutzi shir is taka osur, then that's a good teretz. That even though you ate less than that, it's osur. But if you're telling me eating less than that is mutter, you're allowed to eat less than kekois, then it shouldn't say osur. You say, yom kippurim, you're a chayiv koris of chas v'shalom if you eat a kishir. That's good that it says also. It's telling us even chutzishir. What do you say contra Rish Lakish? Rish Lakish is midrabanan. Rish Lakish is moida that you're not going to eat it midrabanan. And therefore, when it says also, according to Rabbi Yochanan, means eating a chutzishir, also min ha-toira. And according to Rish Lakish, if you eat a chutzishir, it's also midrabanan, but it's also. And if you eat a full shir, then chas v'shalom, a person is chayif karis. And Mir Shimon could continue from here to tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisrael.